Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Stocks for beginners. Phil Muscatello and FinPods are authorized reps of MoneySherpa. The information in this podcast is general in nature and doesn't take into account your personal situation.
Hi, and welcome back to Stocks for Beginners. I'm Phil Muscatello. But in this episode, I'm handing the reins over to Luke the Badger Hallard and Christoph Monkey Pikarski, lead advisors at 7investing.com. This is a recent episode of their Wall Street Wildlife podcast. Investing is unpredictable, but your hosts are feeling especially clairvoyant this year. They predict the future regarding interest rates, black swans, tech booms and busts, Bitcoin price by year end, the tech companies with the most momentum, and those who might have climbed a branch too high.
Greetings, mammalians. Welcome to Wall Street Wildlife,
the investing podcast that'll better help you understand how to make money in the stock market.
I'm Christoph Monkey Pikarski.
And I'm a very happy new year, Luke the Badger Hallard. This week, we're going to make all of our predictions for 2024. What doom and gloom and crazy things are going to happen in the world of big tech, small tech, macro world events. But let's see what we think. And then we'll come back and we'll review this at the end of 2024.
That's right. I expect us to be fully wrong about every single answer.
And if you think any of our predictions today are complete garbage and you disagree, hook up with us on X and let us know.
Yeah. So shall we jump in, Badger?
Let's do that. Let's get stuck straight into it. So we're going to do a couple of macro predictions to get us started. Then we've got a few related to big tech. I'm looking forward to talking about Tesla versus an interesting up-and-comer. And then we're going to get into all the rest. But there's at least one there I'm looking forward to digging the elbow into you on, which is your favorite, EOS.
Okay, yes. I can't wait. So category number one is, what do we predict? Which country do we predict will have the highest GDP growth rate in 2024? Badger, what do you got for this one?
I'm going to go with a tried and tested view, which is not going to be correct, but I just really like the trajectory of, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say India, because we had a fantastic interview about 6 months ago, which told us some really interesting things as part of the 7 Investing No Limit podcast about demographics there. I'm not going to go on about it again today, but I think India are going to see exceptional GDP growth in 2024.
That too is my answer. But here's the thing. I was looking for alternatives. You know, I was really poking around and trying to break the thesis, and I can't. I mean, obviously it's going to be wrong because the odds are against it being right, but I just can't find a more compelling case than India. However, I did find a fascinating data point that I did not know about. One of my favorite travel adventures in my life was going to Mozambique, Africa. And I loved it in part because one of my favorite songs is a Dylan song called Mozambique from the Desire album. But anyhow, it had one of the highest GDP growth rates in 2023. And that's a very decimated country from a long time civil war. And it's got lots of issues. But I was like, oh, wow, cool. They're at the top of the list. So my backup horse in the race is Mozambique, Africa.
Well, if we get a backup, then my backup horse in the race is the Special Administrative Republic of Macau. Because that did incredible GDP growth. It's a tiny little place. I've been there a ton of times. When I lived in Hong Kong, I was out there every other weekend playing poker. The volume of revenues and sort of gambling that goes through Macau casinos dwarfs Las Vegas these days. Yeah, and it's certainly where the biggest poker games in the world are being played, in Macau. A materially smaller base than India, for sure. But if we look in percentage terms, that's my backup.
Do I sniff a upcoming field trip, research trip to Wall Street Wildlife to Macau?
Definitely not. It is soulless. There could be an up and coming Wall Street Wildlife trip to another gambling capital somewhere else in the world.
Stay tuned. Badger and Monkey are up to no good.
Yeah.
All right, Badger, let's talk about interest rates for 2024. My God, I had a hard time with this one. Well, what'd you come up with?
No, go on, you go first. I went first in last one.
So I do not know whether interest rates are going to drop close to 0% again out of, oops, the system is already broken, or we're going to go the other direction to the hyperinflation. So my final answer is that interest rates by the end of 24 will be around 6%, that they're going to go higher rather than lower.
Okay, interesting. Well, I think I'm with one exception, which I'm going to tackle perhaps more on the next prediction. I'm going to stick to the Fed's forecast, which is broadly 4.5% by the end of 2024. So the average of the dot plot where the FOMC members believe interest rates are going to end up. But there is a wild card. Oh, hold it. There is a wild card in my next prediction that if that happens, all bets are off. I have no idea where we end up. Could get very, very ugly.
Interesting. So this is our next category is the black swan, right?
Mm.
And I mean, obviously black swans are black for a reason. I have an intuition. I know what you're going to say. Well, I wonder if this is if Monkey and Badger are more alike than different.
I really hope you haven't made the same prediction as me, because mine, this is doom and gloom.
You want to go for it?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to vote for any of my predictions to be wrong, like this is the one, I fear that we might see tactical nuclear weapons used in either Russia-Ukraine conflict or in the Middle East. And if that happens, God knows where the world ends up.
Oh, wow. Okay, you did go dark in the darkest way possible. I was thinking Taiwan.
Okay.
Which might end up with a similar outcome, but assuming that isn't the end game, but an invasion of Taiwan by China would obviously wreak massive havoc. I do have a backup swan event I just want to quickly mention.
Make it a nice one. Come on, please. Give us a happy one.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't help but thinking that the U.S. election in 2024, I'm assuming it's going to be Biden versus Trump, but that's not even known for sure. But given the chaos that is Trump in all the ways, I have no idea what to think. And some real upheaval in the United States around the election could cause serious ripples in unknown ways.
I thought of that. And I just thought I won't go there on politics. I've got some views, some fairly strongly held views, but probably not for the podcast. There's probably no good outcome from the US election. It's just it's like a shit show of bad choices, basically.
Yeah, it could be a mess. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the integrity of the US government, and that's on the bingo card for potentially being disrupted in whatever way. We shall see.
Cool. So look, hopefully we got the doom and gloom out of the way. That was our macro predictions. Doesn't seem like either of us are particularly optimistic about 2024. But we're going to come on to big tech next. We've got a couple of hopefully slightly more lighthearted fun predictions. Let's see though, you can go first. So we're going to start by talking about the Magnificent Seven, which is not a famous Yul Brynner movie. It's the seven powerhouse stocks that have really driven, the indexes in the last year or so. Let's just quickly list out who they are. And our prediction question is, which of the seven will most outperform or underperform? I guess we're talking about market cap percentage change over the course of 2024. But if you don't know, the Magnificent Seven, I think, are Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla. A magnificent collection there.
Oh, man. This was a hard one. But I'm going to default to Tesla, and only because they have that combination of AI, energy storage, and electric vehicles. And I don't know to what ratio each will power the other, but my bet is still on AI and energy storage to a large degree. So when in doubt, because I think in the end, this will be the world's most valuable company eventually.
Oh, it's a pretty expensive company today. It's $800 million. So actually, on a market cap basis, the cheapest of the seven. So actually, no, good shout. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For my outperformer, I really wanted to go Microsoft, actually. But in the end, I didn't. But let me tell you why I was thinking Microsoft, and that will lead me to explaining why I picked somebody else. This is a world where, in a recessionary environment, if money gets tight, companies today are going to double down on the vendors they already have, and they're going to be, you know, looking to get rid of things like Zoom and stuff like that, and they'll be looking to double down and get value from the stuff they own. And virtually every business owns Microsoft and Microsoft Office and Teams and that suite of products. And, you know, there've been questions about their acquisition of OpenAI, but they're integrating that stuff in a really nice way into their product set. I think that's just going to make it an even more valuable set of tools and capabilities, plus Azure and everything else. So I quite like Microsoft. But in the end, valuation put me off them because they're second most expensive company out of the lot, $2.7 trillion, just behind Apple. So for all those reasons, I'm going with Google Alphabet as my biggest grower. And that makes me happy because that's one of the biggest positions in my personal portfolio. I'll be very happy to see them accelerate from what seems like a bargain stock valuation today of $1.78 trillion. Pick up Google for less than $2 trillion seems like a steal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking about a little bit of the advertising tailwinds to go into 2024, but my bearish outfit made it impossible to pick Google. So I'm going with what I think is the biggest tailwind of all, AI and energy. So, but I see your reasoning. So I think we could, I mean, a legitimate case could be made for all of these companies. Out of all of the Magnificent Seven, I don't think any of them would completely surprise me as the winner.
Hmm. I mean, these are arguably seven of the strongest companies in the world today, right? You're expecting them all to do pretty well.
Right. So I guess that's not saying anything interesting, but
yeah. But we did. Did you make a prediction on the weakest performer of the seven?
I did not.
I've got one. I think you'll probably agree with me. Let me make my one. So actually, I'm going to caveat this by still saying I own this and I think it's a buy at today's valuation. But my biggest underperformer of the seven is Nvidia, I'm afraid. Like, it's an expensive stock, but there is just a ton built into that valuation, which, you know, has been driven by incredible results. But if they fail to meet these ever increasing expectations, even one quarter, then there's a lot of downside perhaps built into the valuation right now. Plus, everybody else is out there developing their own chips. You know, that's always been a kind of background concern. Plus, you know, maybe GPUs aren't the far future of AI. Maybe there's other ways of accelerating. So, yeah, I like this. It's in my portfolio. It's one of my higher conviction stocks, but possibly it's going to be the weaker of the seven for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I really wanted to go Meta, but actually,
yeah, I thought that's what I thought you might say. Yeah, yeah. But I actually, one quick side note about Meta. I know people are in this moment bearish about the metaverse. Hmm. I am not, and I think some of the previews that I've seen make it sound like the technology itself will be another leap forward to how humans interact. and that the real product is as far as I could tell, beyond what we not having yet experienced it, it's going to offer us, I guess, a revolutionary way to communicate that kind of like the pre-internet, post-internet era. And so I know Meta is the leader in that space. So I would not count them out for that reason itself.
Yeah, I buy that. I don't think we'll see that being anything significant from a revenue perspective in 2024, but long term, somewhere either they or Apple or somewhere in that space, we're going to start seeing, as you say, that revolution. But yeah. I don't really like the company, if I'm honest, Meta, but they seem to be on a bit of a charge right now. And, just their advertising business is just fantastic for them. Plus, they've got a whole bunch of really interesting, like they're not lauded as an AI player, but they are doing some incredible things in AI around like science research and other stuff.
Yeah, so that might be a 2025 pick. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting ahead of ourselves, Tesla versus BYD.
Ooh, yeah, BYD, Build Your Dreams, the Chinese auto manufacturer.
Well, who'd you go with? The setup here, apologies, the setup is which of these two will have a higher revenue?
Yeah, higher revenues by the end of 2024. I'm going BYD. I think BYD are going to pick them.
I kind of thought, given you said that you came up with this question, I'm going with Tesla. What's your rationale for BYD?
So if we're looking at global revenues, like global auto sales. If you look at actually just look at the trajectory of revenues, right? Tesla are only just outselling BYD today, something like $96 billion versus $82 billion on a trailing 12-month basis. And from that slightly bit lower, but essentially the same revenue base, BYD revenues are growing faster at 31% quarterly year-over-year growth versus 9%. So I do think they probably are going to pass them by the end of next year. But long-term, my money's on Tesla. Maybe Cybertruck, I don't know if that's going to be material, if that's just going to be a bit of a distraction for 2024. They've got some incredible stuff in the pipeline, but nothing that's really going to, we're not going to have like Transformers and Autobots in our house in the next year, right? But some stuff like that. And I don't care if Musk makes another prediction about autonomous driving, like that's not going to come true in 2024. So all these lovely future revenue streams that I'm sure Cathie Wood is a huge fan of, I don't think they're going to be material in 2024, but they will be one day. But BYD is my bet for next year.
Okay. And I think the energy revenue will be enough to support the ever expanding electric vehicle tidal wave, and Tesla makes the best electric vehicles in the world. So my thesis is pretty straightforward on this one.
Hey, let me back this up with some anecdotal comments as well, because I've got an aging Tesla on the driveway, one of the first Model 3s that was in the UK in 2019. I'm replacing it in 2024, and I was planning to test drive the BYD Seal, I think it's sort of their equivalent car, but in the end I've just gone, screw it, I'm just going to get another Tesla Model 3. I can't be asked to even bother test driving the damn thing. Right. It's more expensive, and the specs perhaps aren't quite as attractive. And hey, maybe Tesla do figure out autopilot. I mean, I'd love to pay for it again one day if they do crack it.
Well, my Tesla has the autopilot. And so I've been using it for the last, I guess, full year. It's been a full year. And, when it works, it's absolutely astounding. It's just that the 1% it doesn't, you can't ever relax. But it is one of the most mind-blowing technologies that I've ever seen. And so
it's garbage in the UK because of regulations, not because of the technology. It's a gimmick. It's a barely functional gimmick in the UK, if I'm honest.
All right. So the next topic is major news event in tech. What are you predicting?
I got an idea, and I didn't know which way to go on it, whether I should go with, so the idea is, around the regulation of big tech, because we've seen a couple of headline news stories in the last couple of weeks, Adobe and Figma cancelling their acquisition. Microsoft, I think, acquired Activision Blizzard, but now the FTC have raised a post-acquisition legal case again to challenge that. So they're going to try and unwind that acquisition. So I didn't know whether to go with like a complete overhaul of the regulatory bodies or a doubling down. And actually, when I did a bit of deeper research, it seems that, and I suppose I'm focusing on the FTC here, the US regulator, but you know, it's all the other regulators too, the Competition Markets Authority in the UK and European regulators. But the, if we just look at the FTC, they seem to have, the popular view is they seem to have, they've become a bit toothless and they're taking, you know, loads of spurious actions against technology companies and they're being quite ineffective. But actually, it would seem that they're actually taking fewer enforcement actions in 2022, 2023 than they have done on average. And so, but they're focusing on headline ones. And if we look at what just happened in the courts with Google and Epic Games, or Alphabet and Epic Games, it would seem that the courts are perhaps siding with or against the big tech platforms. So here's my, I've waffled a bit there. Here's my specific prediction that we will see a major unwinding of App Store dominance from Alphabet and Apple. And I don't think it'll happen in 2024, but at some point in the next few years, we'll probably see that leading to those companies divesting their app stores and spinning them out as separate companies to have a bit of sort of arm's length in App Store versus, like, owning the App Store versus having apps in the App Store, because that's kind of the concern, that you favor your own stuff and that you exploit everybody else and charge them way too much money.
Wow, yeah, that's a tangled mess. It's been going on for quite some time. I know I did some research about this when I was studying the metaverse, and the conclusion I came to is like, yeah, there's so much at stake, and I don't have enough understanding of all the, it seems like the lesson for me from The Wire is you follow the money, and the players that have the most money end up somehow one way or another controlling the landscape. And it's been true thus far. So it'd be quite an event if what you just said comes to pass. My prediction is maybe, well, it's not, I don't know if it's obvious, but I don't think it'll actually happen. But I think it's the direction that I'm pointing to. And that is that AGI, artificial general intelligence, the big mama, big papa of AI, will arrive much sooner than we think. And so I'm not saying it'll be next year. I really highly doubt that would be the case. But I'm employing the concept that exponential growth, it happens way faster than we think, and that we're already on that curve. And based on the saga that came to pass with OpenAI, my conclusion from all of that was that the genie is out of the bottle. And once the genie is out of the bottle, there are no longer, I mean, you're going to have these squabbles, you're going to have these public security warnings, and but in the end, it's a matter of when rather than if. And we were already surprised last year, I think it was last November, at, right, we're about a year, we're over a year since what I think of as the arrival of the spaceship AI for real, in a way that is in everybody's home. So a year from now, so let me fine tune this prediction. AI's capacities will be far beyond what we think they could be today. And we'll get to that in one of these future predictions at the end of the show.
All right. I think I buy that, but I'm not sure about end of 2024. I don't think anyone will have definitively said, yes, AGI is here. Like, there's something that's human level intelligence, general intelligence. But big prediction, okay?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The stock market is a wealth-building machine. Over long periods of time, stocks have consistently outperformed any other investment option. But how do you cope with the stress, the noise, and the emotional turmoil that hits you hard every day? What if you were able to follow a team of tenured advisors with 3 PhDs and 100 years of collective investing experience who provide you with 2 new picks and 5 best buys every month? A full buffet, if you will, of innovative, well-researched ideas for you to choose from. 7 Investing might be for you. They want you to invest for the long haul in great companies with great leaders who can compound capital for years. 7 Investing are pleased to offer listeners of this podcast a free trial for a week and 15% off the annual price if you sign up using the promo code STOCKSFORBEGINNERS. That's only $170 per year, 15% off the regular price. Believe me, this is solid research from experienced advisors who live and breathe the markets. So go to 7investing.com. That's the number 7investing and use the promo code STOCKSFORBEGINNERS, all lowercase, one word, to get your absolutely free trial and discount on the annual premium plan. That's 7investing.com and that code again, STOCKSFORBEGINNERS. I receive a small commission for services that I recommend, and this helps me to keep this show trucking down the highway. I only recommend services I use myself.
Well, I guess we're about halfway through our predictions. Should we do a quick reminder about how you can help us? If you're out there listening, maybe you're on the podcasts, go find us on the YouTubes, because that's the one we're really trying to get behind. We'll have loads of pretty pictures on the YouTube. For this episode, I'll chuck a couple of graphs up there if you're not watching what's going on. And go subscribe, go check out the episode. If you think our predictions are garbage, drop us a comment. We had a nice comment just yesterday on our interview episode with Dan. If you didn't catch episode 7, I interviewed a buddy, Dan, who unfortunately was scammed out of £10,000, lost all of his savings in an investment scam. Go check that one out. I think there's a bunch of red flags in there, particularly if you're a newer investor. Maybe that's one worth sending to a buddy who's just getting their feet wet in the investing pool.
Yeah, what was the nice comment, Badger?
We had a nice comment from Pierre Padder saying, good that you're addressing scams that exist in abundance out there. But Pierre also had a bit of a ribbing for you. Sorry, monkey, but when you said you doubled up on Coherus, I laughed so much I cried.
Well, we certainly don't encourage tears on Wall Street Wildlife, so perhaps today's 30% gain in Coherus might alleviate some of those tears.
Superb. Good to hear. Some victory by year end. Fantastic.
Okay, so next category is, what will be the best performing stock in the S&P 500 in the year 2024? This year, I believe the winner looks to probably be NVIDIA. Did I remember?
I think that's correct. Yep.
So I'm going with a company that is not in the S&P 500 yet. So I have no idea if this is completely me pulling nonsense out of my butt. I'm going with Block, aka Square. Okay. Look at if you just saw a badger falling out of or his tree or whatever, wherever badgers were. I don't even know.
That ain't. I'll have a real money bet with you on that one.
And the reason is you'll hear Monkey talking a lot more about this, is that I think 2024 will be the year where Web 3.0 and Bitcoin and the crypto stuff comes back. And as far as a company that is kind of at its core oriented around Bitcoin with somebody who knows what they're doing, that is Block. And so when that whole thing happens, all fundamentals are off the table. And so I'm going wild with Block.
That is indeed a wild prediction. I used to own Square/Block. I no longer do, like, the decision-making of leadership is just completely baffling to me.
Yeah. What's your pick?
Oh, God, I've gone back to the doom and gloom. I really wanted to go with my King of the Jungle pick from last week, actually, Axon Enterprise. And they did great. They were up there in the top 10 compounders for last year. But actually, when I put my doom and gloom hat on, probably the sector that's going to deliver the best investor returns, if things go sideways, will be a company like Lockheed Martin. They've kind of, the stock price has languished a little bit, but with recent bad news of what's happening in the world, geopolitics, it's taking a bit of a run up. I guess governments are expecting to spend more money on defense, rightly so. And companies like Lockheed and L3Harris and their like are set to benefit from that. And if you are, I am a Lockheed Martin investor. If you are, you know, you don't just get the market cap appreciation, you also get a pretty tasty 2.7% dividend yield. So I don't think you're going to be unhappy owning that one, other than if the thesis really comes true, we're all screwed, in which case you're the richest man in the graveyard.
Yeah. Well, as monkeys and badgers, sometimes we look at these humanoids and we cry. Because, you know, life doesn't have to end with a nuclear cloud. You could just, you know, gather your bananas. You could forage for whatever badgers eat. I don't
know. They eat monkeys. They eat monkeys.
I don't want to know if that's true, you know, instead of like using big brains to find ways to you know, kill the only floating rock that has oxygen in the atmosphere. Anyway, if you're a human listening to this, knock it off. Make sure that Lockheed and Martin doesn't become the top performing stock of 2024.
Yeah.
Okay. Next category.
Broken thesis. Make a wild prediction on a major company failure for 2024. What did you go with?
I hate not to be original, but this is, I mean, you already addressed this, so I won't be long-winded. If Taiwan comes to pass to any extent, I think NVIDIA is in real trouble. And I want to say something that is counterintuitive to what I said before, or maybe even contradictory, not counterintuitive. I fully, fully believe that the AI tailwind will continue. And I also fully believe in NVIDIA's overall market dominance because of the many layers at which they are excelling. No one's going to catch them. But if there's a bubble, it's the AI bubble. And that bubble right now feels extraordinarily precarious. And it could be something as simple as what I would call saturation of the GPUs needed to be, so to speak, good enough. If we get a recession in there and all these, it just does not seem hard to see why NVIDIA could fall 50% or more.
Alrighty, yeah, that is consistent indeed. I thought about something similar, and I thought I'd just go in a totally different direction with this one. So I've kind of gamed this a little bit, because my prediction is more of like a phoenix from the flames, perhaps, depending on how you look at corporate governance. Like we know, WeWork, the Adam Neumann company, is failing, right? They've just declared bankruptcy, and they're doomed with all of these terrible, unprofitable leases, long-term leases they got on buildings. But like maybe this is, or that business model's time, shared office space, hybrid working is here to stay, undoubtedly now. Like we're long past the pandemic, and many companies in the developed world are still largely hybrid working. And so having flexible office space makes a ton of sense. So maybe I haven't really gone with the who's going to fail. WeWork is clearly going to fail, but maybe the brand gets taken private, that the brand name itself still has some value. Like as long as you're not a shareholder, probably very happy with WeWork. It's a great place to work, especially if you enjoy all the free booze. Yeah, and there's probably some subset of profitable leases that they own, or even like newer ones that were renegotiated successfully. So I think a bit of a phoenix from the flames with WeWork. But yeah, the company as it exists today is almost certainly on a dead trajectory.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. That's smart. Yeah.
Do you dare go to the next one? What's the next question?
I don't dare. Why don't you go first?
So the question is, EOS Energy, which if you're a long-time listener or even a recent listener of this podcast or our last podcast, you'll know has been Christoph's doom for much time.
Yeah, I think the proper exact term is my albatross. If you've ever read The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Coleridge, you'll know that bad things happen when the albatross falls or whatever. So
yeah, so we had to ask about EOS. So the question was, the market cap of EOS today, or at least for the other day when I did some research, was about $220 million. It's a pretty small, tiny cap. So the question was, where will the market cap be at the end of 2024, assuming the company even still exists? So I think they're on a waning trajectory, I'm afraid. I don't think they're dead and gone by the end of 2024. That's too soon. But I'm going to stick a pin in the ground and say the market cap is $100 million, about half of where it is by this time next year.
Interesting. I went the other way.
Ooh, no doubt.
And not in really, I really don't think this is bias anymore. I've suffered so long. You know, the last thing I want is, you know, I think I freed myself. And if you listen to the conversation with Mr. Not Advice when we did the strategic call, check that out. It was a bonus episode. I think you could hear how I think clear-eyed I was about the financial distress this company is in. However, I've continued to follow it very closely. As far as I could tell, the automated line will be installed sometime mid-year, and that is when these batteries will start getting produced. And from the market cap where it's at, where it's still being priced as though it's not going to ever make anything, the physical manufacturing of these batteries on top of some big orders coming through will push this market cap over 3x from where we are now. So I'm expecting somewhere between $750 million and a $1 billion market cap, which would, for investors still holding on, would have made the pain all worth it. That's if with a big condition, if the sky doesn't fall and everything collapses, which I think there's a good chance of that happening. So it's kind of a 50-50 situation.
Great. I hope you win that one. I don't want to see you.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. So that I have some pocket change you could steal from me when we sit across one another at the tables one of these days. That's kind of you. That's very generous.
We were chatting about an upcoming episode and maybe meeting at a certain place in the world and having a lot of fun and doing some kind of big event. And Christoph has said he's not sure he can afford to do the big event, the marquee event, because of damn EOS. So screw that company. It could be costing me a major night out.
Okay, the next to last category is Bitcoin. What price will it end at the end of 2023, Badger? Currently, it's about 43,000, 42. It's bouncing between 42,000, 43,000. So it's had a major spike. It's been on a major bullish run as of the last couple of months. The bull cycle seems to have returned. What do you think? You're going higher?
I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I sort of am a crypto guy. I've got some Ethereum and some other altcoins. I'm not really a Bitcoin fan, other than, you know, it's the most widely used. I don't think any of this stuff becomes you know, other than in like weird places like Brazil where they have these experiments, I don't think anything like this becomes actual formal currency in anywhere in the world. And that there are some things happening with Bitcoin, but I'm just going to sit on the fence with this one. I'm going to say it's going to be exactly the same dollar number in a year's time, no movement. If we move like that, but it'll finish up in the same place.
Well, this is fascinating because this is a segment or area where I hold pretty much the exact opposite view from Badger. I've been studying the space for quite some time, and without turning this into a Bitcoin lecture, I think some of the things you just said are they're born from, I guess, the more pop culture understanding of it rather than maybe some of the deeper fundamentals. And I hope to do an episode down the road where maybe we dive real deep into what is this stuff, especially because some of the stock picks I'll be making in the near future are revolve around this whole industry. But I am much, much more, I guess you could say, bullish on what this is, what Bitcoin actually is, and its future. And the one correction I'll offer now is it doesn't have to be a currency exactly, although it could be that. It's something different. I think Bitcoin is more and more on its way to replacing gold as the fundamental meaning of money. And this is where nuances get, you know, come in. Money and currencies are a different thing. And so as the network grows, what you need is, well, actually, so I'll stop. I'll pause myself there. And so I've become more and more bullish with time. And I think we're going to see a 1x from today's prices. So I'm calling something like an $80,000 level Bitcoin 365 days from today.
Okay. I firmly got the under on that.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, I'm firmly taking the under on that.
I'm pretty
confident we won't see a doubling in Bitcoin's market cap or the value, the cost of a Bitcoin. Yeah.
Okay, we shall see. Yeah, this is one of the, yeah, we hold completely divergent views here. I can't wait to explain to you why you're wrong.
Good stuff. I look forward to the lecture. Our final prediction, or what you think it will be possible to do with AI. So I think the parameters here were speculate on progress in AI in 2024 and make a prediction about what it will be possible for the average person to do with AI at modest cost in a year's time.
I think this is a great question to think through. And I was surprised by my answer. I was surprised a little bit by my answer. And I had to really reflect on my own journey with this stuff so far in its first year. So I want to tie this in with my previous answer that I think AGI will be here sooner than we think, but we don't need to get there for what I'm about to say to make sense. From what we already see AI being capable of today, without whatever upcoming advances we'll see unveiled throughout the year, what struck me is that it seems it is now possible for any one person as a solo entrepreneur to run their business basically from bottom up without hiring all the necessary staff that used to be necessary for any kind of operation that had any kind of size, that now anybody that's willing to study the tools and learn all the tools available to them, that they could essentially, they have an accountant, they have a graphic designer in-house, they have a strategic advisor, they have a CFO. They basically have, we now have everything we need. So if you have an internet connection and a little bit of, I guess you could call perseverance and grit and all those entrepreneurial characteristics, you could probably, with enough diligence, run a successful business without hiring anybody. So maybe that doesn't sound wild and crazy. So I want to emphasize that it's not that my claim is it's not that anybody could now run a business. It's that you could do it alone.
Yeah, cool. Okay, yeah. We're definitely seeing that get chipped away at, and that's definitely true today in some respects. But still, that's a long journey to get to literally running like a medium-sized enterprise as a solopreneur. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. That's a good one. That offsets a lot of the doom and gloom around bad things happening in the world. My prediction is much smaller. I feel a bit embarrassed for making it now than compared to your grand one. But I'll try and be really specific. So I think it'll be possible with like the latest beta versions of proper personal digital assistants on a mobile device to literally have like a fully enabled virtual PA for anybody to have that. Some entity that can, you know, read your calendar, read your email, look at your messages, and then give you the base, essentially a pretty comprehensive service you would get from a human PA today. So to make it specific, like if you, no one loves it, but the cutting edge of setting up meetings, what a tedious thing, is Calendly. Like no one, everyone hates that because you're putting the onus on the other person. You send out this impersonal link to find space in your own calendar. Like the specific prediction is that if you and I want a meeting, we'll just say that in an email, and then our AIs will talk to each other if we're both on compatible platforms, which we will be, and that will just get scheduled for us with all the other stuff we need, like Zoom links or Riverside links and all the supporting materials and background notes for that meeting.
It's crazy. I don't think I've wrapped my mind around yet what's happening, because I don't know if your experience was like Mind Badger, but I all year long, I continued trying to follow the space, and it seemed like every single week, some new development that was like, oh my God, I can't believe that's possible now, and that's possible. And at some point, you know, there's this feeling of overwhelm, and there's this tendency to, okay, I can't handle all, you know, so much newness all at once. And not newness for these new capacities are not trivial, right? I mean, they could, in many ways, they're really altering everything. And so maybe one of a side wish for anyone listening to our podcast, maybe for ourselves, is can you find, you know, let's say a week of time in your life to just learn, just kind of look back at what we could do now and kind of brainstorm, like, how could I put all of these tools to some good use? And I think everyone would be, I mean, who has mastered all of these tools? Nobody, right? I mean, this is bleeding edge stuff. And it really does feel like we're back in 1999, where the visionaries were thinking, what could this internet thing do? And some people really got it right. And those people changed the world. I'm thinking, obviously, like Google and Amazon and whatnot. But I wouldn't be surprised to 1 year from now come across some inventions that are just mind-blowing.
There's a million ways to invest in stocks. It can be confusing, stressful, and costly. But by following a few simple rules, you can avoid many common investment traps and unwanted anxiety. What if you were able to follow a team of tenured advisors with 3 PhDs and 100 years of collective investing experience who provide you with 2 new picks and 5 best buys every month? A full buffet, if you will, of innovative, well-researched ideas for you to choose from. 7 Investing might be for you. They want you to invest for the long haul in great companies with great leaders who can compound capital for years. 7 Investing are pleased to offer listeners of this podcast a free trial for a week and 15% off the annual price if you sign up using the promo code STOCKSFORBEGINNERS. That's only $170 per year, 15% off the regular price. Believe me, this is solid research from experienced advisors who live and breathe the markets. So go to 7investing.com. That's the number 7investing.com. And use the promo code STOCKSFORBEGINNERS, all lowercase, one word, to get your absolutely free trial and discount on the annual premium plan. That's 7investing.com, and that code again, STOCKSFORBEGINNERS. I receive a small commission for services that I recommend, and this helps me to keep this show trucking down the highway. I only recommend services I use myself.
A reminder that the people on this program may hold positions in the companies that are mentioned. Buying and selling stock carries financial risk, which could include loss of capital. The views in this program should not be taken as personalized advice. Before acting on any of the information provided, listeners are encouraged to consult a financial or tax professional.
Thanks for listening to Stocks for Beginners. If you enjoy listening, please take a moment to rate or review in your podcast player, or tell a friend who might want to learn more about investing for their future.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.